Well, there's a character by the name of Barney Rubble. Barney is the next-door neighbor, of course, of Fred Flintstone. And whenever Fred went off on one of his harebrained schemes along the way, faithful Barney stayed right there with him all the way. There's another Barney, though, called Barney Fife. Now, Barney, of course, is the over-eager deputy sidekick to Sheriff Andy Taylor. Now, Andy only allowed Barney to keep one bullet on him for his gun, and that had to stay in his shirt pocket until it was needed. Now, Andy had to constantly pull Barney out of all sorts of trouble, but Barney always stayed faithful to Andy. Now, there's another Barney. It's Barney, the 6-foot purple dinosaur. Now, I think he's probably lost a little impact over the years, but he was known as children's friend. In many ways, everybody needs a Barney in their life. Everybody needs that close friend, that supporter, even when we do stupid things in life. In like manner, we need to be a Barney to others in life. We continue this morning with our journey in Acts when the church was young. And really, we are not going to go through the entire book of Acts. We're going to stop this series just as Paul and Barnabas are going off on the first missionary journey. And that's only another couple weeks after this, and then we'll go to something new. But we continue this morning, and we're going to look at a real-life Barney that we find in Scripture. God uses this Barney to inspire the author of one of our Gospels that we have in our New Testament. God used this Barney to inspire people to be godly givers. God used this Barney to walk with and teach a man that will become a major force in the young church. Now, we might not have the chance to inspire great things like that, but every single one of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can be a Barney to someone else in this lifetime. Last week, we looked at handling church criticism. Instead of dealing today with the negative of criticism, today we're going to look at something very positive. We're going to look at the positive of encouragement. As we saw last week, the young church has now settled into the acceptance of Gentiles that they could actually come to Christ also. And we saw last week that the message of Jesus Christ continued to spread. And so we pick up today with Acts the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 19. And we find that it says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Well, as Luke wrote this history of the young church, he reminded his readers of something we saw several weeks ago now, the story of Stephen and when he was martyred, and how after that occurred, great persecution came upon the church and people fled, Christians fled from the area around Jerusalem. Luke now tells us, he says, that some fled to Phoenicia, which is right on the seacoast of the Mediterranean Sea. He says some fled to Cyprus, a large island out in the Mediterranean Sea, and actually the home of the Barney that we're going to look at today. But then he said there were some who fled to Antioch. Antioch. Antioch is located just south of what we think of today as modern-day Turkey. In the days of the young church, Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Only Rome and Alexandria, Egypt, were larger than Antioch. They estimate that the population of Antioch in that day was somewhere around 600,000 people in that city. Where we place a lot of importance on Jerusalem, and we should, it is Antioch, where Christianity will take giant steps forward in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Antioch. The church in Antioch will become a game changer for Christianity. At Antioch, Jews and Gentiles will come together, will work together in unity in their faith in Jesus. And a great number of people came to Jesus Christ in Antioch. Look at verses 22 through 24. It says, the report of this, that is the great numbers coming to Christ, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Well, now we meet our Barney, actually Barnabas. Now, this is not our first encounter in the book of Acts with Barnabas. We saw him back in chapter 4 when it talked about his giving heart, how his giving of finances influenced others within the church. But the next time we see Barnabas was after Saul became a Christian. We learned that the Christian leaders in Jerusalem were scared of Saul because he had been persecuting Christians before. And they thought this may have been some type of trick, that Saul really wasn't converted to Christ, that this was a trick to infiltrate the leadership and carry them off to prison. And it was Barnabas who took Saul, who listened to Saul, who trusted Saul, and took him to the leadership in Jerusalem and said, listen to this man. He really has come to Christ. Barnabas was such a trusted person in the young church that when Antioch was starting to go crazy with new membership there, with people coming to Christ, it is Barnabas at the Jerusalem church sends up north to say, help them out, assist this young church in their growth and as they grow in Christ. Of course, the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And he encouraged the Antioch church in its young faith. Barnabas was described in where we just read as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. And I thought, wouldn't that be what we would like to be thought of? Good, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Barnabas, to me, in many ways, is kind of like the poster child of the early church of what a follower of Jesus Christ should look like. And while he was there at Antioch, the church grew even more while he was there. Verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples are first called Christians. Well, it appears that Barnabas is becoming overwhelmed with the work. It was too much for him to handle on his own. And so he looks for help. And so he thinks of Saul. When we last saw Saul, Saul had fled from Jerusalem. Because now that he was a Christian and he was out teaching the leaders in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders went after Saul to get rid of Saul. And so Saul's disciples, he had disciples already in Jerusalem, put him on a ship and sent him up to his home, which was at Tarsus. So Tarsus now is about 85 miles north of Antioch. And so Barnabas journeys up to Tarsus, finds Saul, and brings him back down to Antioch. And the two men work together at that church for a year. And then we learn something about Antioch. It wasn't the mother church in Jerusalem. It was at Antioch that followers of Jesus Christ are first called Christians. It's now about 12 to 13 years since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in other words, it's about 12 to 13 years since the day of Pentecost. It's 12 to 13 years since the church began. And now they're being called Christians. But most likely it wasn't a kind thing. It wasn't a loving thing to be called a Christian, because the term Christian actually means little Christ. And it's believed that it really was people on the outside of the church calling them, "You little Christ." And this term Christian stuck and has stuck throughout the centuries. Look at verse 27. "Now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." Well, we're not sure why these prophets came up from Jerusalem to Antioch. Maybe it was because of how this church was growing. But one of those prophets that came up is a gentleman by the name of Agabus. And while he was there, he foretold of a great famine that was going to occur. Now, we know from Josephus, the Jewish historian, that such a famine took place between 44 and 48 A.D., right in the time frame of all this. The church in Antioch heard how the Jerusalem church is going to be hit by this famine. And so they collected relief help to send it to those Christians in the Jerusalem area. And Barnabas and Saul are selected to deliver the relief resources. By now, it is believed that the Antioch church is mostly a Gentile church. Jerusalem, of course, was a Jewish church. And remember, it's Jerusalem who sent men to get this work going at Antioch and to help this work out. And it could be because of the overall population of Antioch, 600,000 people, that the church at Antioch may even be larger by now than the church in Jerusalem was. After all we saw, though, concerning the difficulty that the Jews originally had about Gentiles becoming believers, now we see a Gentile church sharing its resources and love with the Jewish church. And who is one of the two main carriers, messengers? Barnabas, the encourager. You know, when we think of great men of the New Testament, great followers of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, names like Peter and John and, of course, Paul, who we now call Saul, who will become Paul, those three just kind of jump to the top of the list for us, don't they? Peter and John and Paul. But I would dare say Barney or Barnabas was used by God to make a huge impact on that young church in that day. Barnabas' spirit of encouragement set in motion many things along the way that made the young church grow. Barnabas was used by God to encourage the early leaders to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Well, what can we learn from Barnabas? How can you and I be a Barney for Jesus Christ? How can we be Christian encouragers? Well, I thought it's the best to just look at the characteristics of Barnabas himself. Look at the characteristics that made a difference. And the first thing is, a Barney is a giver. I mean, that was Barnabas's original calling card in the book of Acts. When we first met him, it involved in his gifts that he gave out of love for Jesus Christ. And then we learn in the story today that he's part of the force that's making a delivery of gifts down to the Jerusalem church during their time of famine. Your giving reveals your heart toward God. It reveals what it is you're willing to surrender for God. A Barney is a giver, but a Barney is also trusting. The early leaders of the church were scared of Saul. When he came to Christ, they were scared of him because they thought it was a lie, as I said, or they thought it was some scheme. And Barnabas dared to take a risk. Barnabas dared to stop, hear Saul's story, see what's going on in his life, see the marvelous things that were occurring. And Saul, who became Paul, of course, because of this encouragement, because of all that took place, we have Paul writing half of the New Testament. But it was because Barnabas took a risk. He took a risk. But if you look in the scriptures, the New Testament is all about taking risk in the name of the Holy Spirit. And it concerns me in churches across our land that we fail to take risk anymore. We have our walls and we have our control and we build around that, and we don't dare want to step out of line here or step out of line here. And I'm like, you know, every time I see the Holy Spirit works, it's when he makes us step out of line. It's when he makes us take risk. And all this started because Barnabas trusted a man. So much happened for the kingdom of God because he took a risk. He trusted a man no one else would trust. He was a risk taker in the power of the Holy Spirit. A Barney is trusting. A Barney is a paraclete. I didn't say a parakeet. I said a paraclete. So what's a paraclete? Well, this word is also used to describe the Holy Spirit. But actually, it's just a common Greek word that means one who comes alongside another. One who comes alongside another. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to guide us, to lead us, to help us in our time of needs and our times of joy. Barnabas revealed that come alongside, paraclete nature. Saul needed someone to come alongside him to help him to grow. And there was Barnabas. But there's another story that's several years down the road that we're not going to get to in this study. But we find in the book of Acts. Another incident where Barnabas takes a risk. But it's a risk of coming alongside someone. And in this case, it's coming alongside his own young cousin, Mark. When Paul and Barnabas were heading out on their first missionary journey, cousin Mark comes along with them. But he doesn't last long. It wasn't too far into the missionary journey that Mark heads home. Well, we don't learn until later that Paul got angry over this. Paul was very disturbed by that. And so when the day came that Paul and Barnabas were looking to go on their second missionary journey, they were going to go back to all these churches that they had started before and check up on them and see where help is needed. As they're getting ahead on this journey, Barnabas says, "Hey, Paul, let's take Mark." And Paul says, "Ain't no way. There's no way we're taking him." And it ended up splitting the dynamic duo of Paul and Barnabas. Paul took someone else and went out on his own journey, went back to a lot of those same churches. Barnabas took Mark and went on a different missionary journey. So why is this a point of coming alongside and the risk? What's going on here? Barney supported this young man, Mark. He came alongside this young man, Mark. And one day, even though Paul was upset about Mark, and most likely angry with Mark, one day Mark is actually going to come and help Paul. And then this young man, Mark, is one day going to be a disciple of Peter. And then one day this young man, Mark, is going to write a gospel that we call the Gospel of Mark. Because this encourager, Barnabas, came alongside Mark in his time of need, Mark's life in Christ grew, and some other wonderful things spun off from it. A Barney is a paraclete. A Barney is a disciple maker. We are called to make disciples. I saw a statistic this week which was very alarming. Over half of the people who call themselves Christians have no idea what the Great Commission is. No idea. And then it was like, I think the statistic was like only 1/3 of Christians could even identify Matthew 28, 19, and 20 as the Great Commission. How sad. And it says within it about making disciples, our command to make disciples. But I think another thing that maybe we hurt ourselves over the centuries, and that's because a lot of our translations say, go and make disciples, which makes it seem like an act done by a missionary. Go somewhere to a foreign land. Go over here and make disciples, when actually the verb, the literal nature of the verb is, as you go, make disciples. Meaning, as you walk through life, as you go through life, we're to make disciples. It does not necessarily mean leading a series of classes on Christian growth. That's not it. Even though that can be part of it, yes. Disciple making means being involved in a life of someone who's less experienced in Christ. Barnabas revealed that nature with Saul and then with Mark. And it's the reason that Barnabas was sent up to Antioch from Jerusalem to help those young Christians up there grow. You know, you never know who you're going to affect in this life. You never know who's watching you in this life to see what your Christianity is like. There's a lady by the name of Henrietta Mears that you probably don't even know. Does anybody know who Henrietta Mears is? Henrietta Mears. Basically unknown, but the magazine called Christianity Today dubbed her the grandmother of us all. The grandmother of us all. At age 38, Henrietta Mears moved from Minnesota down to Hollywood, California. There she became part of First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, where she taught a Sunday school class. And she taught that Sunday school class for 40 years, four decades. Who did God bring through this unknown woman's Sunday school class during this time? Who is it that she taught along the way? Well, let me throw out a few names. The first of them should just jump way on the chart for you. Billy Graham. Billy Graham sat in this lady's Sunday school class in Hollywood, California. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Jim Rayburn, the founder of Young Life. Dawson Trotman, the founder of Navigators. And if that's not enough, she went out and started a publishing company called Gospel Light. She's called the grandmother of us all because if in your Christian walk, if you have been affected by Billy Graham, Campus Crusade, Young Life, Navigators, or the Gospel Light publishing company, it goes back to this woman. It goes back to Henrietta Mears. Because see, all she did was serve God as you go. She didn't have to go to a foreign mission field. She didn't have to do all that. As you go, as she lived out her life, she just taught, and God brought these people into her life, which went out and did some marvelous things. All she did was teach a Sunday school class for four decades. and influence millions and millions for Jesus Christ indirectly. You don't know who in your life may be used by God for something great. And it may all start by being a disciple maker. Our Barney is a disciple maker. Our Barney is glad for others' success. Barnabas arrived on the scene in Antioch to find things already going strong. And he didn't need to be at the beginning of the work. He didn't need to take credit for the work. He was glad for others' success. A Barney is glad when others find success in their lives instead of being jealous of their success. A Barney is glad for others' success. A Barney is steadfast. Steadfast means unwavering and dedicated. A Barney doesn't sway about with every whim or thought. Now, sometimes we take this terminology, unwavering, and we apply it to the wrong things. What was Barney unwavering to? Barnabas, what was he unwavering with? His devotion to Jesus and to followers of Jesus. He was steadfast. A Barney is steadfast. A Barney is a good person. Barnabas is the only person in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ who is given the description good. The only one outside of Jesus. That tells you a lot. The word good actually comes from the word God, by the way. It's a derivation. A good person is a godly person. A Barney's a good person. A Barney is full of faith. It is by faith that we ask Jesus, yes, into our lives. And then it is by faith that we follow him each and every day of our lives. Barnabas the encourager wore his faith for all to see. A Barney is full of faith. A Barney is full of the Holy Spirit. God never meant for you to live this Christian walk on your own. So stop trying to live it that way. He, just as Barnabas didn't live it on his own, he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell within us to help us walk in the path of Jesus. When we try to walk in the path of Jesus on our own without the Holy Spirit, we will fail every single time. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. A Barney is full of the Holy Spirit. And last, a Barney is a partner. Barnabas knew he needed help when he was there in Antioch. He could have just kind of thrown up his hands because it was just overwhelming for him, but he didn't do that. Instead, he brought in a partner. He went up and he found this man, Saul, to help train and to lead with him. And we're called to work together. To work together in Jesus Christ, not to pull at each other. No man or woman in Christ is an island. We are to partner together, and we need to partner with each other in the work of Christ. A Barney's a partner. You know, the church will never have a shortage of people who want to be the next Paul or the next Billy Graham. But Paul's and Billy Graham's come about because of Barney's. President Ronald Reagan once said this. He said, "There is no limit to what one can accomplish if he doesn't care who gets the credit." There is no limit to what one can accomplish if he doesn't care who gets the credit. And that's true with Barney's. Oh, we need Pauls and the Billy Grahams of the world, yes. But we need encouragers. We need Barnabas-type people coming out of our ears. And I pray that we will be a Barney for Jesus Christ. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is the opposite of what we looked at last week. It's the polar opposite. Criticism, think about it. Criticism at the root is about what? Criticism is about me trying to change you to look just like me or to act just like me or to think just like me. And that's pretty selfish. An encourager, though, at the root is me helping you to be what Jesus wants you to be, who Jesus has called you to be. And that's unselfish. And so we need to be a Barney, not a criticizer. Well, this morning as we come to our time of commitment, you know, last week we had Bill coming and say that he's accepted Christ in his heart. In the 11 o'clock service, the Layton family came and have moved their membership here from another church. And I don't know, maybe this morning, one of those is what God is calling of you. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And you've never understood what it means to have complete forgiveness of your sin, that sin that separates you from God. And this morning, as we come to this time of commitment, come and we can pray about that. If you want to sit down afterwards and talk more about it, we can do that. Or maybe it's time to make this your home here at Calvary Baptist. Or maybe there's just other concerns. Maybe it's, Lord, help me to be a better Barney, to be an encourager of people instead of a criticizer, or just to be a better encourager. Be open to God's call this morning, whatever His Holy Spirit's placing upon you. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, thank you. We thank you for the life of Barnabas and his example. We thank you how he stood tall, and Father, he really, when we think of the great men of faith in the New Testament, he's not one I think a lot of people put at the top of the chart, but Father, he had great influence because you were living and dwelling within him. And Father, you did marvelous things through his life. And Lord, it just goes to show, I think, how behind the scenes you work in marvelous ways through the lives of people. Lord, I pray this morning that someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they'll make that commitment today. Others that have other decisions, Lord, that they will turn them over to you. And Lord, may your will be done. Guide us now, Lord, in this time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.